On va préparer le
A lot can be told from a country's national dish. There's even a song about it in Senegal. It can offer a glimpse into the country's culture and agriculture, as well as its history. But what's on the plate might give a skewed view. Tibujin, for example. It's Senegal's national dish of flavoured rice and fish, a lunchtime staple in homes and restaurants across the country. But it isn't considered the national dish by everyone. Cheikh Thiam from Dakar's Convivium, a group supporting small farmers, says Tibujin has only been in Senegal for about 70 years.
It's a colonial dish, which is a replicate of the paella, Spanish paella. So it started with the French people that settled in Saint-Louis. Then it became, with international aid that came over here when we had drought and, you know, like dry seasons and not very productive in agriculture. So they started helping villages in Senegal by bringing them rice. And that's how rice came into the picture in our local food. But we weren't eating rice. We didn't know about rice.
Rice remains a staple in Senegal, but more than two-thirds of the 1.5 million tons eaten every year is imported, according to Grow Africa, a network across Africa that encourages private investment in agriculture. Senegal imports so much food in part because only 5% of its farmland is irrigated. Tiffaine Briand is the Francophone Africa representative of the Slow Food Organization, which encourages local food production around the world. She says one way around Senegal's water shortage is by growing different crops.
With the crops present in Africa, we can feed Africa. And these varieties are much richer in terms of nutrients. There are also cereals that are adapted to climate change. I mean, corn, wheat, rice, they need lots and lots of water. We must also think about what works best with climate change and about the needs of the population.
Cash crops like rice exported abroad provided a return on investment for the government, while it was also easier and faster to prepare for the population at home. Crops that were once cultivated have been forgotten today, says Cheikh Thiam.
It was fonio, it was millet, it was local grains, you know. We were using also a lot of other things that people don't know anymore. And it was something that was really part of our food. Very nutritious, very, very good. And people are just forgetting about it because of the imported things.
For Briand, if the cultivation of local crops can be made financially attractive for farmers, it could help reduce food imports and make food shortages less frequent.
Right now, we need to work on bringing value to a sector, such as fonio, to have quality fonio that would be available in restaurants and in homes. That would be a first step towards recognizing that this grain has its place in local markets, which isn't the case at the moment.
Despite Senegal's huge reliance on rice, Malik Sarr, the Director General of the National Agency for the Integration and Development of Agriculture, agrees that a move towards reintroducing ancient crops like sorghum and millet or fonio is more sustainable.
I think that this is an inevitable path that will have to be taken because it is the one that will guarantee the sustainability of farms in our different countries.
But it won't be easy. Rice remains popular for cultivators and consumers because it's easier to process and prepare, said Sarr.
It's clear that there is a will that is emerging, but hasn't given any tangible results. Rice is relatively recent. It's thanks to the ease of preparing rice that's helped promote this new product. Rice is easy to cook without too much hard work beforehand, and that's why there's still resistance in rural areas in terms of reintroducing ancient crops.
For now, it seems unlikely local grains will be able to shift rice off the top spot for production and consumption unless the government decides to invest in the slow food movement on a national scale. For RFI, Emmanuel Landais in Dakar, Senegal.